Well, welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Broke out the old sweatshirt today to have a little bit of fun. All of our WNST programming, of course, brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. Coffee, hotter than ever on these cold mornings, and I think you know what we're talking about around here. Of course, Justin Tucker will make you a cup if you can't make a cup yourself. Our friends at Planet Fitness are still open and socially distanced. Talked to Vicky Brick the other morning. I know I'm going to be having Teddy Savage on next week as well. Working out, working in. Make sure you're staying in shape. We got Thanksgiving next week. Thanksgiving's only going to get heavier for me because I've been promising myself a pineapple and ham pizza pie from Pete's John's. And I didn't even know they had pineapple and ham on the menu. I was standing in there about 3 weeks ago. I'm waiting for my cheesesteak. I know this upsets Luke Jones when I talk about hanging out in Essex, eating Pizza John's. But I was, and I looked up, and, you know, I knew they had anchovies because my mom had put them on there. Everybody knows they have the black olives because they come on the pizza and the meat sauce and the delicious sausage and the little green peppers, the way they do it. The mushrooms, perfect the way they do it. Somebody said they put too many toppings on a pizza at Pizza John's. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you? So anyway, I looked up, and I saw pineapple and ham, and I'm like, oh, Hawaiian pizza from Essex. It's getting in my belly this weekend to honor Derrick Henry. I welcome Luke Jones in. You can find him at Baltimore Luke out on Twitter and Instagram. And, of course, at the all-new Baltimore Positive. What's going on, dude? How are you, man? Internet's working today. Life on the farm's good, right? I mean, Titans coming to town. 2 games in 4 days. Season on the line. I hope they play well, man. That's all. Yeah, I'm gonna eat well. I hope they play well.
Well, you just said it. Life is good, but you know, these days for the Ravens, it feels way more tenuous than it's been in quite some time. I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. When you go to Foxborough against a Patriots team that the Ravens were better than on paper in every way, you can kind of break it down and you lose. And I understand it rained and there's been injuries, and it's very clear this isn't the 2019 team. They've just gone through way more adversity, and they will continue to, just with the injuries they've suffered alone. But I think it just the last, and I wrote this at BaltimorePositive.com at the beginning of the week, to me, the last remnants of the mojo from last year kind of washed away in the rain on Sunday night. And that's not to say they won't make the playoffs. That's not to say they can't make a run to the Super Bowl still, but they had such an aura of, let's face it, invincibility by the end of the regular season last year. I mean, you win 12 in a row, and I mean, teams were flat out intimidated by them. But when you see what happened on Sunday night, and you've seen, you know, various national reporters with unnamed executives or coaches around the league saying, hey, what can we do now? It really does speak to the Ravens not having that fear factor in the minds and in the eyes of their opposition now. And let's face it, this kind of started with the Tennessee Titans in January, and both teams are much different than they were then, specifically on the offensive line. I mean, you know, Tennessee lost Taylor Lewan, their Pro Bowl left tackle, about a month ago. The Ravens, of course, losing Stanley, and Marshall Yanda been a storyline all year. But, you know, with all their deficiencies, all their issues for both these teams, they're both 6-3 and right in the heart of the playoff race. So this is a very critical time for them from a mental standpoint, as much as just looking at the standings. I mean, clearly they're in position to secure a wild card. The December schedule is not that terribly tough. I mean, a Monday night trip to Cleveland. Beyond that, there's nothing on that December schedule that really scares you. And I'm not saying Cleveland's scary, but it's a game conceivably you could see a path to them being upset, being, you know, coming up on the losing end. But with Tennessee and then Pittsburgh to follow right after that, I just think this is such an important time for them to kind of reestablish themselves. As I mentioned, that intimidation factor that they had last year that just isn't there right now, I think it's so important for them. And they are going up against a Titans team that has plenty of talent. And you could say they're similar to New England, other than the fact that they pass the ball much better. But still a fairly similar profile, great running game, defense, not so great. But, you know, I think it's just important for this team to take care of business and feel good about themselves again. There wasn't much of that Sunday night.
Yeah, for them it's early, right? Because, like, this whole unit is a new unit. Orlando Brown, yeah, he was born to be a left tackle. I get it. Now he's out there, and maybe he's comfortable, but I'm not sure how the whole system is comfortable or where Greg Roman is comfortable in calling the same playbooks in the same ways, because Marshall Yanda could do things that whoever they're going to put over there can't do. And Ronnie Stanley could do things at left tackle that other people could not do. And Nick Boyle did things that other people could not do. And certainly, and I will continue to say this, Hayden Hurst did things and created matchup issues, which is why he was a first-round draft pick. It's why they picked him ahead of Lamar Jackson, that there was one more weapon they had that you take Nick Boyle out of this thing now. Now you're no longer a slobber knocker, but you don't have the talent position guys. You don't have the athleticism. You don't have the brute strength and force. You don't have the institutional wisdom. Let's be honest, bro. Marshall Yanda and Ronnie Stanley, and you're out there just beating the snot out of people for 16 weeks. You take those two guys out of there. I mean, you have two extraordinary guys on your front line. All respect to my boy Mike Flynn, who called in this week. You can go check that out at Baltimore Positive. You can also now find our whole podcast audio vault available now on Stitcher, Apple, iTunes, Google Play, all of those places. So make sure you're downloading that if you are a podcaster. But Flynn checked in, and, you know, the Flynn, Mulatalo, and all that, they were nice lines. They were good. They didn't have, like, two kind of Hall of Fame, but they had J.O., great, other good players, other nice players, all that. But last year was kind of, like, otherworldly in that way with the running back combination they had and Mark Ingram's leadership. That they had a lot of assets last year that were more than halfway through the season now that we could say they don't – that they didn't have even when these guys were healthy. Now you're going to start – exiting key pieces and moving pieces around. The key for me on Sundays is to see confidence early, right away, put up a tray, put up a seven, put up some crooked numbers. There's a little summer reference for you, Luke. Put up some points, because if they start to stumble out of the gate and then they, you know, you get into the fourth quarter and then you got to go play in Pittsburgh on Thursday night. We wake up on Friday morning, eat leftovers here next week, and my leftovers will be okay because I got the Harco ice cream. You know, I'm going to have some pumpkin cheesecake ice cream. I'm keeping a little bit of that just for the holiday. They tell me they have the pumpkin spice latte, but if I wake up on Friday and I'm brewing my Royal Farms coffee and they're 6-5, it's a real problem, right? I mean, that's a real problem.
Oh, no question about it. That's not to say they can't recover in December, but now – you're not talking about the Super Bowl. You're not talking about the number one seed. You're not talking about catching Pittsburgh, certainly. You're talking about trying to make sure you're at least the number seven seed and sneaking in. I mean, you're kind of talking about where the Ravens were for the last 5 years prior to Lamar Jackson being drafted. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. And we talked about that a lot. No, it wasn't all Joe Flacco's fault, despite what some revisionists would like to lead you to believe. But, you know, you're talking about a team that's on the brink then. And right now, you look at the logjam of 6-3 type teams in the AFC. I think that's going to separate, and inevitably you're going to see some teams come back to earth. Teams that have a little more of a challenging schedule. The Ravens don't have a very challenging December, but you know, if you come in a position, I mean, they've already lost 2 out of 3 coming out of the bye week. If you lose your next two, you've lost 4 of your last 5. Your confidence is shot. I mean, let's face it.
Titans are going through that this week, right? I've talked to everybody in Tennessee this week, and that's where they were 5-0, and now look where they are.
Right. And you kind of look at how they lost to Pittsburgh. I mean, you know, some issues in the kicking game. And by the way, if we want to look at these two teams and see where the real separator is big time, and people will say, okay, the defense, but at the same time, I look at the Ravens offense not doing a whole lot against the New England defense, but the kicking game and special teams, a big separator there. But, you know, going back to the confidence thing, if you lose these next two games and you've lost 4 out of 5 coming out of the bye week and you're now 6-5, I don't care how easy the December schedule looks, you're searching for it. And you have guys that are asking questions. You have guys that are doubting each other in the locker room. And that's not to say it starts dissension or fighting, but just the mental impact that has on you. That, I mean, last year, they came out, and they didn't just expect to win. They knew they were going to beat teams every single week. I mean, that's how great that football team was in the regular season by season's end. But that's waning at this point. So,
Saw the Mike Tyson, Buster Douglas thing, right? Like, they got punched early, and they went down. quickly in January, you know, and until they get punched and get back up, and now they've gotten punched. Now, whether they're going to get back up, but they're getting up with a very different cast. And I, you know, I don't know where they are with Brandon Williams and how he really is and how Calais Campbell really is and, you know, what their age is at this point, at the end of a season, in the middle of a pandemic, you know, all of this going on. There's nothing about this trending in the right way, which is all the more reason that, like, 10 points on the scoreboard at 125 would go a long way to sort of zip this thing back into, oh, maybe we are pretty good. Because I would tell you what, even after Philadelphia a couple weeks ago, and I make the drive back, and everything was sort of falling apart a little bit, and things weren't so great, the bye week and all that, Steelers, all of that, I would still come on here and say, they're a pretty good football team, Luke.
Right.
You know what I mean? I would say that. Yeah, I'm starting to wane on that right now. I mean, as composed, as comprised the other day, they were very ordinary 9-70 kind of football team, what I saw out there.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I mean, you just said it. The eyeball test hasn't looked right for most of the season in relation to last year. Now, when you're 5-1 coming out of your bye week and you kind of look at it that way, that's where you're trying to be tempered. You know, you're trying not to be overly critical because they're still winning football games. But that changed Sunday night. They went into Foxborough and look, they had injuries and that's a reality. And as much as you look at this matchup with Tennessee, you have to be concerned on both sides of the football up front. I mean, that's just where they are. What's the offensive line going to look like? I mean, are they going to have their fifth different starting combination? Is Matt Skura still going to be the center after seeing some of the issues he's had snapping the football the last couple weeks? If he's not the center, who is? Is it Bradley Bozeman, who they've talked about at different points, and he was a center at Alabama? Well, if you move him, now you have someone different at left guard.
So, oh, it is whack-a-mole. So like, totally, right?
Like, I mean,
Nestor, that's what they're doing now.
We're in a position where if they would do that, and I don't know if that's going to be what they do. I still think Patrick McCary could have something to say as far as potentially being the center, but he played pretty well at right tackle on Sunday when DJ Fluker was just struggling so mightily in the first half. But they conceivably, if they move Bozeman to center, they conceivably have five different players at the five positions than they did for the Steelers game on November 1st. You're talking about a three-week period because you have a different left tackle, Orlando Brown in place of Ronnie Stanley, different left guard, Bozeman moves to center. Whoever's playing left guard, whether it's Skura, Ben Bredesen, who knows? I mean, I couldn't even tell you who that would be if they, in fact, do that. You'd have Bozeman at center. Right guard would be Ben Powers, I think, and then Patrick McCary at right tackle, Fluker, one of your backups, Skura, potentially one of your three guys that you have up on game day now. I mean, that's what you're looking at. And on the defensive side, while I have confidence that Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell will be back and healthy, and that's not going to be a big picture concern as it relates to getting into December and January, you certainly hope not. But that's a major concern for Sunday. And then, of course, a quick turnaround going to Pittsburgh 4 days later. Not that the Steelers run the ball particularly well, but those guys are still really important to what they do. And we saw what that run defense looked like. So I think you made such an important point for this football team to get off to a good start on Sunday. I mean, you know, this picking up a first down and then punting the ball three plays later, and you know, you let Derrick Henry get going a little bit, and then Tannehill hits you on a play action. I mean, his play action hasn't been as devastating as it was last year, but it's still really good. And I think Ryan Tannehill this year has proven that last year wasn't this incredible fluke, and you know, he hasn't turned back into a pumpkin like many people thought he might. Not, you know, I'm someone who thought that was possible. He's been pretty darn good still. Maybe not as insane in certain ways that he was last year in the second half when he took over as the starter, but that's the difference. If you let Derrick Henry run the football the way that the Patriots did, Ryan Tannehill and this group of wide receivers is far more capable than of making you pay in the play action game. And you know, New England, they had a couple plays here and there. It wasn't a whole lot, but they did pretty well with play action. So it is just so critical for this team to get off to a good start from a football standpoint, and to get off to a good start from a mental standpoint, because this, as I said, the difference between this offense and what they encountered last week is, yeah, they're going to try to run the ball and run the ball a lot, but they have a passing game that can make you pay that let's face it, other than Jacoby Myers and the trick play and, you know, a few play action passes here and there, it's not as though New England passed the ball a whole lot. And of course, the elements had something to do with that. But, you know, this is a passing game that can absolutely bring you some pain. And, you know, it hasn't been as consistent. And they've had some issues recently, and certainly their offensive line isn't what it had been, you know, with some of the injuries they've had. But, you know, this is a much more capable offense than they faced in Foxborough. So, you know, you fall behind 7-0, 10-0 early. Boy, this team's in a lot of trouble. So it's just that much more critical for them to get off to a good start and, you know, to get their own running game going and playing downhill and, you know, imposing their will on the opposition rather than the other way around. That we saw on Sunday night in Foxborough.
He is Luke Jones. He will be in Owings Mills preparing for all things Ravens as some of these camps have broken down and Zooms are going on. The announcement this week about not having people like you and me around and, you know, the whole league, and we've been talking about this for weeks. I talked about it a lot this week with the Tennessee media, and I don't know if they believe their team's a playoff team or whatnot or where they're going to play. I mean, they've had 16,000 people in their stadium down there running around without masks on. So, obviously, where the virus is, and I've looked out the window every day and watched lines around the convention center in testing and whatnot, I am concerned about how normal this is going to remain and the bubble philosophy that I keep coming back to, that if they're going to finish this season, and so far so good on the integrity scale, we would all admit it's been a pretty good season, that they're going to have to start to do things differently.
Well, and that's why they announced that they're going to the more rigid protocol. I mean, you do that before you get to a point where you have three more Tennessee outbreaks like we saw early in the season, whereas now if that were to happen, you're already talking about having to play a week 18. You're talking about having teams not making up games and potentially going to the revised 8-team format, which has been talked about, which, you know, I don't think anyone wants that. You know, I don't want more teams in the playoffs. I want to, you know, as close as you can get to a normal season, but also understanding that that might not be possible. But that's why you go to the more intensive protocol to try to be as proactive as you can be. And to your point, you know, yeah, there have been hiccups, and yeah, we knew players would test positive, and yeah, it stunk that the Ravens didn't have Marlon Humphrey a couple weeks ago. But, you know, from a strictly looking at it through a football lens, that's part of the health picture that's right there with players that sprain ankles and sprain knees and tear ligaments and break bones. And so that's how you have to look at it from a football standpoint. But from a big picture virus standpoint, yeah, I mean, there's certainly going to be questions. And I would hope, to me, it would be a downright shame if this league isn't exploring their options for a postseason bubble, especially with the understanding, and you know, we've seen it, and the announcement came earlier this week, the Ravens aren't hosting any fans against Tennessee after they had hosted, what, 4,300 against Pittsburgh. So, and they're not alone in that. You've seen some other teams that had been hosting some fans and, you know, either not expanding upon that or cutting back on that. So, you know, you hope the league continues to be as vigilant as they can be. And I'm not saying they've done a perfect job, but, you know, relative to what a lot of people thought, I thought a lot of people would have never guessed we would be talking about a football game in late November. So be thankful for that, but also always be cautious and you know, not to be so arrogant or naive to think that things are going to just continue to move on swimmingly. You hope, and that's why you do everything you can from a protocol standpoint, but you never really do know. That's why, you know, kind of every morning we're doing this from a media standpoint, but you know, John Harbaugh, every time he wakes up at 4:30 in the morning, whatever time John wakes up, you know, he is just holding his breath, checking his email first thing in the morning to see, you know, what the testing results look like. Have they come back yet? Is there anyone that's tested
him
negative?
And every Eric sure, Cuss every, and every yeah. Dick Cass and every Chad Steele and every sure. reporter. I mean, every Jeff Zrebeck. I mean, we're all just sitting here like saying, well, you know, who's next, right? I mean, it's a plague. And I do that on my Facebook page every day, which is why I'm not going to be the guy next because I haven't left the condo. You know, so I'm trying to keep it there. We're washing our hands. Luke Jones is here. He is going to the game on Sunday. I've been begging off of these Foxborough. I've never felt better about staying home 2 weeks in my life, Luke Jones. I know you know, because you've been to Indianapolis and Foxborough. You know there ain't a damn thing there, especially when you lose a football game. But Luke is here. He's covering the team out on the web. I want to give thanks to all of our sponsors. Raskin Global. Leonard Raskin was here this week doing really great segments with our clients and our partners around here about prosperity and about adversity and about the holidays and about really important things like what kind of pie you take with your Taharka ice cream. We're going to be delivering ice cream to you throughout the holidays with an incredible discount, $15.70 off an 8-pack, which really makes $40, $5 a pint, delivered to your door. The best ice cream in the world, it's Taharka, including incredible flavors for the holidays. Eggnog, peppermint bark, the good stuff, you know what I mean? So anyway, we'll be doing that in the coming weeks. Next week, I'll be giving you the code, telling you about it. We're going to put that up right around Thanksgiving, and that'll be available through the holidays. We hope you purchase with our partners at the Taharka Brothers. Show us some love, show them some love, and then, like, show me a spoonful of your caramel crunch or your, pumpkin spice latte or whatever we're going to come up with this time. Whatever you're into, you can order the flavors you dig. It's all going to be available with our friends at Taharka. Also, Sportaculture making a perfect gift. This is the Black Magma Lamp. When the Ravens won, like last year, I thanked the lamp. This year, it's not the lamp's fault. Lamp's doing the best it can do under the conditions. Sportaculture.com, the way to do that, even if you have a Steelers fan in your life or like an Ohio State fan or something, or even a Terps fan. I have my Terps is over the other shoulder, right behind Art Modell. You can still find me, Nasty, at WNST.net. I am on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Snapchat and everywhere you are as well. Luke, before we go to put this one to bed, I made the fatal flaw on Sunday of picking the game. Hey, Nasty, who's going to win the game? And, you know, I should have retired when I picked the Falcons Super Bowl game perfectly, right? When I hit that one right, I should have said, I'm never picking another game. You know, I got sort of flippant with this football team. So for me to sit here and say to you, as comprised, I think they're a 9-7 team. I'm the guy that picked them to in the rain, outclass the New England Patriots on Sunday night. I picked them 37-3. Like, I thought it was going to be a laugher. You know, I don't know what's happened to my confidence level, but I think when you lose good football players, it always sort of is jarring for me to think, like, how is that going to be replaced? And maybe it's not going to be replaced. Maybe they're going to try to do some things differently because of what they can't do. But until I see it, I'm not trusting of it. And when it comes to picking this team right now, I feel like, to your point, five different linemen, everything's different about this thing. This really is a wait and see in a way that we haven't felt that way about the team since, you know, I don't know, last offseason or maybe when Flacco was here.
Yeah, I mean, it feels very circa 2016, 2017, where you're looking at the schedule and you're talking about injuries and you're saying, well, they had more yardage in this team if they don't turn the ball over four times, like we talked about with the Pittsburgh game. You find yourself looking for more excuses or explanations for why things aren't what they were a year ago, and then you get to Sunday night and
you realize the uniforms and Lamar are about all that's the same.
Yeah, I mean, and look, they're still a good football team. I mean, I hear you say that they, you know, they might be a 9-7 team. I mean, they could lose against Tennessee and Pittsburgh, and they're 6-5, and all hell is broken loose from a fan standpoint and from a panic standpoint. And look, the players are certainly, and coaches are going to be internally really, really concerned if that scenario plays out. But you still look at the month of December. I mean, this is a team that still has one of the easiest schedules in the NFL remaining. Home against Dallas on a Thursday night, at Cleveland on a Monday night. I'll give you that one. You know, the Browns, begrudgingly, I have to give them some credit. I don't think they're great by any means, but they're solid, and they're a winning team at this point. And there's an extra wild card team, so you give them a chance. But then home against Jacksonville, home against the Giants, at Cincinnati on January 3rd. I mean, even if this team isn't anything close to what they were last year, and even if you think this team is nowhere close to Kansas City, not even close to being Pittsburgh's league, I still look at that final month and say, I don't see a path for them to be 9-7 unless the unthinkable happens and you lose Lamar, or you lose five other guys on your starting defense. Yeah, under those scenarios.
Or you catch the virus.
Well, but from that standpoint, yeah, I mean, sure.
Well, that's always sitting out there.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, you could say that about every team. I mean, from Kansas City on down to Jacksonville or the Jets.
Yeah, but we never used to say if their plane went down. You know what I mean? Like, literally, we didn't talk about things in that way. You know what I mean? Like, what if they don't get to play in 3 weeks or whatever? What if half the team is gone? All of that sits here for them and for everyone else, which is, the Marlon Humphrey thing was less than ideal. The Browns have been 2 weeks into this thing. It's getting worse. I would think for me, the notion that this team that beat them so badly and knocked them out would be more of like the storyline this week. It really hasn't been at all, right? I mean, these are two sort of scuffling teams that felt really good about themselves 4 or 5 weeks ago that are starting to feel the effects of the long season, I think. This feels like two sort of middle rounders going after each other that neither one of these feel like they're fit to win a Super Bowl right now.
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's too quick to write the Ravens off completely. I mean, I still think you talk about a team that should, whether it's, I don't think it's going to be this week, but in the next couple weeks, should get Calais Campbell back, should get Brandon Williams back, should get Jimmy Smith back, if he doesn't play this week. I know he's been banged up despite how well he's played. Into a bigger role as an outside corner than anyone would have envisioned with Tavon Young going down at the beginning of the year. But I still look at them defensively. I look at their special teams. And even with the questions that I have really on the offensive line, but the entire offense, with Lamar getting too much attention, but certainly part of that entire narrative, but just all the question marks you have across the board with the offense, I still see a team that's really, really good and not a team to write off entirely. And I suppose you could make the same argument with Tennessee, maybe to a little lesser degree, because their defense just has been a shell of what it was at the end of last season. Dean Pease had that group playing at a really high level by season's end, and you saw what they did in the postseason until the second half of the Kansas City game where it all came crashing down then. But they haven't been the same group. And for all the talk about Jadeveon Clowney, he hasn't done a whole lot for them. And, he's been banged up some the last couple weeks. And, that was one of the narratives and one of the stories as far as teams like the Ravens, whether they'd go after a Clowney or not, the questions about his injury history. So, they've had some other injuries and, it just hasn't been the same as it was last year. And maybe this is where you take some comfort if you're a Ravens fan looking at this team and, not that they're circling the drain. I mean, that would be way too dramatic to say that about a 6-3 team, but you do look at Tennessee who, 9-7 last year? And they got in and they got hot at the right time. And, they had a lead over Kansas City at Arrowhead in the conference championship game. So it's a reminder that, 14-2 is a heck of a lot of fun. And being the number one seed is a heck of a lot of fun. And setting all these records and being the darlings of the NFL and being atop the power rankings and being atop the odds makers, Super Bowl odds and all of that. What did it get the Ravens? They lost in the second round of the playoffs last year. So this organization, as much as any, when you look at 2012 and you look at 2000 and what they went through in each of those seasons, two very different football teams stylistically, but you saw what they did. They went through a heck of a lot, and they had points in those seasons where people didn't know if they were going to even make the playoffs, let alone be the Super Bowl champion. So that's where you do take a little bit of pause and say, all right, things don't look so great. They certainly look bad on Sunday night, but this team still does have a lot going for them, and we'll see if they figure it out. John Harbaugh was coach of the year last year. Greg Roman, assistant coach of the year last year. They had the MVP of the league, all these Pro Bowl players that, no Yanda, no Stanley, I get that, and that's tough, and ultimately that might be what holds them back in the end, but they still do have a lot of talented players on this football team, and I think we're going to learn a lot over these next 2 weeks to know if they truly are still one of those 5-6 legitimate Super Bowl contenders, if there are that many in the league, or to your point, if they're more of the conventional playoff team that, maybe they win a playoff game and then they bow out after that.
Deep depth. We shall find out Sunday 1. Luke will be there. You can find him at Baltimore Luke and Luke at WNST.net. Change my email address. You can still get me, Nasty, at WNST.net, but you can find me, Ness, at BaltimorePositive.com. On behalf of all of our incredible sponsors here, including our friends at Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, Bill Cole did a great segment with me this week about the science of the pandemic. Also, chatted with Todd Schuler about gratitude during the holidays. You can find our friends at Blondell Miller Schuler at DamnGoodLawyer.com. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore Ravens, Baltimore Sports, and Baltimore Positive.